You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
ESO from Wrestling Roundtable. ESO from Wrestling Roundtable. Wrestling is awesome. If my chair is thrown on the ropes, climbing up the ladder. Stop the damn match. 1, 2, 3. ESO Pro Wrestling Roundtable. ESO Pro Wrestling Roundtable. ESO. Oh, hell yeah.
Temporal anomaly detected on Earth 2017. Is it the Doctor? No, it is a human using the number 42. They have the ultimate answer. They are having civil discussions about television, film, comics, books, and video games. Where is the fan rage? This is a threat to the Daleks. We must exterminate them. Humans must be hostile to each other so that the Daleks may rule supreme. Exterminate! Exterminate!
The 42 Cast. Bad for Daleks, good for humanity.
Oh, baby, it's a great time for a holiday season. So is everybody ready to sing a song to celebrate this special season? All right. Mr. Vince McMahon, are you ready?
Everybody get ready. I'm ready. If you're not ready, you're fired.
What about you, Mr. Hunter Hurst Helmsley?
I am ready.
And what about you, the Randy Macho Man Savage?
Oh yeah, I'm always ready, brother. I can do it all.
What about you, big ol' Andre the Giant?
Oh, wait, what are we doing?
What about you, Sister Mae Young?
I'm always ready. If Andre the Giant's ready.
All right, take it away, Hunter Hurst Helmsley.
Dashing through the snow, in a one-horse, open sleigh.
O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells on bobtails ring.
Making spirits bright.
Oh, what fun it is to laugh and sing, Daddy. Oh, it's singing song tonight.
Oh, jingle bells. Jingle bells. Jingle all the way.
Ooh, yeah, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Yeah.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride Andre the Giant in a one-horse open sleigh.
Mae Young, sweetheart, that is just disgusting.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, happy holidays, everyone. Nothing means nothing. I'm talking about the old way to the top of the Christmas tree and the tinsel and the Christmas balls and... And it goes all the way to the top, all the way to Venus and Mars, and it's all the way. Ooh, yeah!
He just said what I think he said.
No, but he said Venus. The Venus.
Val Venus, where's Val Venus at?
Babies, we have got to calm down here. We've tried our best to do a Christmas song. Just a sweet little Christmas song. And now all of a sudden we're talking about Val Venus.
Ho, ah, ho, ah, ho.
Cats and kittens, this time for the Pro Wrestling Roundtable once again. As always, I'm your host, John Morgan Neal. And the guy with their, you know, twisting knobs and pressing buttons and doing stuff that I have no idea anything about is Richard Jewell, our producer. Again, we are not going to be joined unless he comes in later. by Jonathan Williams, who is too busy doing that movie-making job that he does. And so we do miss him, but he'll be back in tow soon. And tonight we're going to be joined by our regular, semi-regular guest, Joe Crow, and after far too long of an absence, Mr. Jeff Yelton. So we're welcome those guys, and we are going to talk about Christmas in wrestling. And maybe a little Thanksgiving, since we just passed Thanksgiving. But holidays in wrestling, the Christmas holiday, the winter holidays in wrestling. And there's a lot of that, a lot more than people think, especially since, as Jeff certainly will attest, and it was a big deal back in the territory days. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start off my own little story, because the most significant wrestling moment for me personally was the famous reunion ring in Star Wars match between Kerry Von Erich and Ric Flair that the special referee was Michael Hayes, and Michael Hayes ends up being upset with Kerry because he wouldn't take the win that he basically handed to him. And then he and Terry Gordy decide to leave, and Terry Gordy slams the cage into Kerry Von Erich's head, and he ends up losing to Ric Flair, and that ignited the infamous Freebird Von Erich feud that went on for years, and that happened on Christmas. So, I mean, Christmas obviously is a big deal to us Texas fans here for wrestling. And that was Christmas Day, December 25th, 1982. So, from 12,000 people in Union Arena. So, big deal.
Yeah, and the next year, what was it? Michael Hayes came down in a Santa Claus suit.
Yeah.
To celebrate a win, and the Freebirds end up tacking him.
No. What happened is it was a tag team match between Von Erichs and Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts. Michael had lost a Loser Leaves Town match against Kerry,
right.
And so he wasn't supposed to be there at all. And he, and all through the latter part of the show, Santa Claus is out there tossing candy to the kids, which is pretty normal for Christmas. And then Mike was outside, so I think it was Kerry and Kevin against Terry and Buddy, and Mike was on the ringside. And Santa Claus ends up attacking Mike Von Erich, and then that causes a big Donnybrook, and so on and so forth. And so yes, another big Christmas moment between Von Erichs and the Freebirds. And I remember when the big brawl is happening, and so on and so forth. One of my favorite lines, and I had it as a byline on a wrestling website, where Bill Mercer is like, said, the Freebirds are here, the devil is here, or something like that. I wish I could remember exactly, but it was a great call. It was a great feud. Okay. Somebody got some other Christmas stuff they want to talk about?
How about Roddy Piper's Christmas Carol?
Yeah, there you go.
That was a classic. And the worst, and he was going, "Oh, you're an ugly sucker." And he did not, of course, and he did not revert to a nice guy. He just stayed Roddy Piper all through the whole thing. And it was like
that sums up Roddy Piper's career. He was just Roddy Piper. It is. Whoever they booked him against, good guy, bad guy, whatever, he's Roddy Piper. So,
well, that's like the first real sort of sports entertainment moment WWF had back then, I think it was, and it worked so well because everybody knew Roddy and how obnoxious he was, and it made sense he played Scrooge.
It does.
I'm surprised Joe didn't bring that. How about old Santa Claus?
Santa. Well, you know, if you've noticed, my avatar is the Christmas creature. Ties into Kane. That was his very first major gimmick that he had in USWA under Jerry Lawler. and it became the Christmas creature. You know, Kris Kringle's favorite elf, the big red-nosed machine.
So Santa Claus yes. was not Kane. Santa was some dude who...
No.
Santa was Fitlam? Is that who?
No, Santa was Balls Mahoney.
Balls Mahoney! Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, yes. That's
yeah.
too good.
And Ted DiBiase bought him as Santa's evil brother or something like that, and out to spread the awfulness of the holiday season to everyone. I think he wrestled one time on Raw, and that was it, because it bombed so badly.
And then, let's see. The other Christmas related thing. Well, now here's the thing. What sticks out to me most Christmas wise with wrestling is the at least once there might have been more than once. Stone Cold stunned Santa.
Yeah.
How many times did that happen?
Oh, too many.
A few.
Because at one point, I want to say that it was no. You know what? What wasn't it? Gold Dust or Dusty or Dustin at some point, and then
yes.
Stone Cold stunned him.
Well, he was dressed as the New Year's baby. That's what it was.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
That's one of my favorite things.
But then the whole segment with him ended up stunning Santa Claus because Santa didn't bring him something.
Beer, probably.
Probably a beer. Yeah,
Stone
yeah.
Stone Cold can stun anybody, including Santa, and people still love him.
They loved him. Now, was that, I'm guessing it was after, but was that before or after 9-1-1 chokeslam Santa in the ECW arena?
Oh,
way after. Way
was after. Oh, yeah.
Way after.
Yes. I mean, it's Philadelphia guy. They're going to cheer anything like that. They're going to love that. That's.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the test. Will they cheer anything? And then boom.
They will.
Well, they booed Santa Claus in the 60s when he came out for a Philadelphia Eagle game, I think.
Yeah, he did.
What?
Yeah, that's famous. That's famous. They threw snow at him and booed him as he came out on the football field for an Eagles game in the 60s sometime.
Yeah. Honestly, you know, that because of the movies, this, that, and the other, New York's got that reputation for, you know, those nasty city types that are just, you know, that are jaded and mean and rotten. But Philadelphia's got them beat all to hell. Philadelphia is the place that they are the heels of the United States.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Well, also
happily the heels. They're happily the heels. By the way, I did get my my calls mixed up. This is what Bill Mercer said. Hey, Santa Claus just decked Mike Von Erich.
Yeah.
What will the children think? Hey, I don't think that's Santa Claus. Oh, hey. The other line was,
that was
Mark Lawrence, and he said, "The devil has emerged at Will Rogers Memorial Auditorium. The fabulous Freebirds have hit the ring," which was another event.
Of course, Mark was a minister, still is. So he
is. By the way, he had a real great interview with Stone Cold last year, I think it was. Really good. It gives a lot of information about world class and the inner workings and so on and so forth. And he's a really, really, really cool interview. So.
While we're doing Christmas stuff, we got to praise WWE's tribute to the troops every year. That is a fantastic thing. The wrestling ain't so much, but it's wonderful that they go out to Iraq and Afghanistan. Now they're doing it stateside, I guess, and just showing their love for the troops. And I think that's a that's beyond wonderful what they do for those people right there.
It really is. I'd forgotten all about that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yep.
In recent years, they do it in, you know, one of their usual via their usual, you know, arenas where they usually do stuff. Or that, but when in the earlier days when they did it outside, in front of just armed forces, that was a great scene, and that's just must see stuff, because the emotion and the enthusiasm, not just from the fans, but
the wrestlers
so pumped. Just
good. Yeah, I mean, it really is a great thing that they're doing, and among many other things that they do for Make-A-Wish and all that and the other. But yeah, they're doing those for, and you can tell, like you said, they do appreciate it. It's a really cool thing, you know. And so, yeah, I like that.
And the little it makes the wrestlers seem. Like, back in the day when they first started doing this, you didn't have the full immersion like with Twitter and YouTube and that kind of thing. But when they were in between matches, they would show these guys hanging out with the troops. And they showed, I feel like one of them, the wrestlers stayed in one of Saddam Hussein's palaces. And like that was where they lived while they were doing, while they were filming the thing. And they had, the Big Show had to sleep on these giant, like tarpaulins and mattresses they had laid up in a corner. And that cracked me up still. That there's this giant construction they had for him to sleep on. And everybody else, you know, I guess they got regular rooms, but fun stuff.
No doubt.
Yeah, Jericho wrote about that in his book. He was
did he?
Happy.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and not in the new one. I'm talking about the last one.
Okay.
But I haven't read the new one yet because I'm poor now. He talks about how much he loved it. He wanted to go back, and he went back every time he was with the company. So they were very moved by what they saw over there with the troops, and it's a win-win for everybody, you know. It's good to have, because a lot of people will not go to to see troops, especially in war zones, and they're saying, "No, hell, we'll go there. We'll show them. We'll give them a good show, and let them speak to their families and what have you." And you know, it's a wonderful thing that Vince does for the troops there.
Well, speaking of potential danger, we've already discussed it a little bit, but it obviously, I think Santa really needs to stay away from wrestling shows because he tends to continually get kind of messed up or hurt. Does anybody remember the time that Alberto Del Rio ran over Santa?
I don't remember that.
Don't either. Nah.
Yes.
I do remember it because they had just turned him face the week before.
Yeah, and he got a little overzealous, accidentally hit Santa with his limousine. He was remorseful, but John Cena was not forgiving, and he went on to avenge Santa. And so there you go.
Well, if you go to the troops thing, JBL came out as Santa Claus with a brown coat and all, telling all these guys that their leave was canceled. And they had to go back to work immediately. And then I forget who the other Santa was. I think it was Mick Foley, but I'm
probably
not sure. And they came out. Of course, Cena came out one year as Santa and yelled at Vince McMahon. And that was when he had his rotator cuff injury.
Right.
And it was a shock that he came out there. And that was great. But my favorite Christmas, I mean, you know, Starrcade happened originally at Thanksgiving, but then it became a December thing.
Right.
But, and the new one, I wish they would show the new one on somewhere. But when I think Christmas in wrestling, I think BWO. That was hilarious. I mean, Joe gave me the tape, the best of Stevie Richards, God, 13 years ago or something, no, 15 maybe. And there's Stevie and, well, I posted on YouTube, Stevie and the Blue Meanie going around Times Square and the Santa Claus, the guy in the Santa Claus suit says, "Oh, BWO, BWO, BWO," and Stevie kicked him.
Stevie kicked.
And then he puts his fist in the air with his goofy smile off his face, like, that's what you get for not giving me that toy train when I was 9.
I'm looking at it right now. There's Blue Meanie and Stevie in the middle of Times Square. And this is Christmas, so it was probably 20. And Stevie is wearing the Daisy Dukes. It's woo, mercy. Oh my gosh, this is first classic Santa's stuff,
first, ladies and gentlemen. BWO. And they did
Richards. You've been too flat.
Okay, they did that commercial for the T-shirts. For Christmas, and Blue Meanie's Blue Meanie starts like the bulls of Pamplona, man. These people are lining up to get these things, and it's the Tickle Me Meanie doll. I call mine Chico. And then Stevie says, "Wait a minute. That you'll not get that item anywhere in the stores before Christmas. It is the second hottest selling item for Christmas this year. You know what the number one is? The BWO T-shirt." In fact, you could get one for $10. I'll give you two for $20, or I'll give you $7.16 for carry the two. I'll tell you what: you buy 1 million shirts, you get one for free. what a deal. Hey, it's Christmas. Buy the shirt.
It's the Super Kick Santa. This is great.
Stevie Kick.
One of my favorites is the DX Christmas.
Oh, yes.
It was just China, Shawn Michaels, and Hunter. And they come out in the bathrobes. And they hang out for a while, just talk, giving really good promos. Because there was, before they do the Christmas thing, Sean is doing a promo on Undertaker. And I think he says, "I don't rest in peace. In fact, if you ask the ladies, I go all night long." And in the classic Shawn Michaels voice, you know. But then they disrobe.
I go all night long.
Yeah. They disrobe and they have boxer shorts. And Jim Ross calling this is the absolute best. And so they have boxer shorts and everybody's relieved. It's Jim Ross and Jim Cornette on the call. And then they drop the boxers, of course, and they're wearing thongs. But there's a big DX circle over them. And Jim Ross has the greatest all-time commentary on this. Do y'all remember?
No, I don't.
I never saw it, actually.
So, you know, they're standing there bare-assed pretty much, and he's like, "Will you look at those two nuts?" In straight Jim Ross commentary. Not cracking his voice, not cracking at all.
No. Not corny. No, not corny. He's
just the good. Best. Yes. I mean,
that's great. That's great.
You can find it on YouTube, and it's about 9 minutes long. Find the 9 minute long one because it is great. I mean, it is well worth watching. I mean, I think DX was at their best during this time because, you know, and then they say "kiss me under the mistletoe," and China holds up the mistletoe as they bend over. It's just great. Loved it.
That is great. So, anybody got any personal Christmas memories?
That involves wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Way to spring that on us, John.
Some gifts that you got, or you was able to go to a show during a Christmas holiday, or something?
Well, we got a trampoline, and then my brother almost murdered me.
Well, that is a personal wrestling memory, that's damn sure. So.
Yes. Here we immediately started a trampoline wrestling federation.
Before it was cool.
Say what?
I said before it was cool, probably. I mean, back in the 90s, yeah, they had the backyard wrestling, but
Way back. We didn't have the protective plastic, the protective foam barricades that they have now. If you got dangerously close to the edge, you had to beware the metal springs.
Yeah.
So my brother immediately discovered the metal springs and immediately introduced me to them. Here's the thing, because my brother is 3 years younger than me, or 4 years, and so something as a big brother, I would take it easy, you know, hey, let's go play wrestling, and I would pretend to, you know, hey, I'm gonna, and I would take it easy with the DDTs and such. My brother did not do that. My brother was hardcore. My brother put my brother DDT'd me onto the metal railing around the trampoline, and made sure that when I attempted to jump, he would do that. He would do that bounce, that small bounce while you're up in the air. So then when you hit, you're going to go off the trampoline. This is within like 2 days of us having the trampoline. I had nearly been killed. And then, of course, the other neighborhoods came over, and there was always the one kid who was even more serious than you were. And so he put the figure four leg lock on all of us. Not at the same time, but it hurt for real.
That would have been one hell of a trick for all everybody.
But
I'm saying that, yeah, if anybody has ever had the figure four or put the figure four on, it's legit. It hurts.
I didn't know he was your younger brother. I thought he was about the same age as you.
It's close. It's close. Yeah. It's 3 or 4 years.
Because you created a character based on him for our old GWA.
I did.
Did he ever find out about that?
For our email wrestling federation that me and Jeff and some other dudes were in, some other guys, I pretty much played myself, and I invented another character who was my brother, and secretly my brother, because he was a masked man called the Loser. So every time I wrote the Loser, I was kind of getting revenge on my brother.
And what was his finisher?
That's another thing. His finisher.
I remember.
Because when we first saw, me and my brother first saw the DDT was on a Coliseum videotape by Adrian Adonis. Thank you. Yeah. And it was cool leather Adrian Adonis before he became Flower Shop Adrian. And he did a DDT on somebody, and the announcers had never seen it before. And I think maybe Gorilla Monsoon and Gorilla or Lord Alfred Hayes, and they said, "Well, that's some kind of under the arm pile driver." And so that's what I called it from then on.
Good times, man.
And my brother always called it the under the arm pile driver whenever we would watch wrestling. Like Jake the Snake Roberts, hey, he's doing the under arm pile driver.
I loved writing for him because you could get away with anything.
And the thing is, he ended up being way more successful than I was in the game.
Yep.
in the league. But I did, we could do a whole show about this. But I did every mask gimmick you could possibly do with every mask storyline you could do with this dude because I'm a genius. But anyway, back to him almost killing me. That was the big one. But we would usually get a whatever the new wrestling game was. at Christmas, and our favorite was the Nintendo Pro Wrestling game. So we would like just the original, just straight pro wrestling, where you played Starman and some merman looking dude, and about six other dudes who were clearly analogs of actual wrestlers. And that game was so easy, and you could dive out of the ring, and the sound effects were like, and we played that for hours. I think our still have the scars. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's a great game. Starman, King Slender, I think, is one.
That's it.
King Slender. Oh, the Amazon was that, the merman guy.
Yep.
This is like the creature from the Black Lagoon. They had a giant panther.
Did anybody ever see, Jeff, I guess I'm specifically asking you, John too, because WCCW, World Class, had Christmas Star Wars every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John was
talking about. Yeah, I was talking about earlier with the Freebirds and both times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a standard thing. They had one every year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the 1, 2, 3. On the thing I see here, they had like 1, 2, 3, 4. They had like 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish somebody should do that every year. It's you're crammed full of Christmas goodies, and you just go and hang out
This year WWE's got Raw on Christmas. So
now the last one, the WCW Christmas Star Wars 87.
Mm-hmm.
The last one. Check out this lineup. The main event was Al Perez in a steel cage beating Kerry Von Erich on Christmas.
We don't want to go through
that. Why would you do that to the children?
We don't want to go through that. That's when Chris had the heart attack, right?
Was it?
Was it?
Yeah, wasn't it? Well, that's why they stopped doing it, I guess. I don't know. It was
good Lord. Well, really, every story connected to World Class has a tragic undercurrent. But
it's true.
Let's see. The other matches on this one were Chris Adams and Kevin Von Erich and Steve Simpson.
Yes.
Yeah. Buddy Roberts, Terry Gordy, and Iceman King Parsons, who I believe was the Blackbird at the time.
He was the Blackbird. Indeed he was. Yes.
I remember Terry Gordy shaking Chris Adams' hand before the match and shaking Steve Simpson's hand for the match, and then Kevin puts his hand out and Terry slaps the shit out of him.
Now, it's one of the things I love so much about World Class is that they would have that little crossover thing, because the Freebirds sort of got to a place where they were kind of tweeners, where they were feuding against the Devastation Incorporated and Angel of Death and all these others, but they never became friends with the Von Erichs, except for Michael. Michael became friends with Von Erichs, which is what led to the Terry Gordy and Michael Hayes feud that culminated in the Tower of Doom. It was a realistic way of looking. It's like, hey, there's a lot of bad blood here. We can be at detente, but we're never going to be pals, you know. So yeah, that was a great moment. I love Terry Gordy so much. that was great. There's another bad one. There is. The December to Dismember.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
So, what does anybody want to say anything about that travesty? Or just mention it, move on. Oh, man. It was just an awful, awful, poorly planned pay-per-view. Yeah.
Was that the absolute... It was not the end of WWE's ECW, I don't think.
It was the beginning of the end. That was their only, first and only EC-branded pay-per-view. That was that, you know, because where they would have SmackDown and Raw, and this was an ECW one, the new ECW. Obviously, they had the two special shows before that led to all of this. But yes, and it was a mess. It was a terrible mess.
Well, here is what happened on December to the December to Dismember. Stevie Richards beat Rene Dupree.
Yeah.
So half of that match is probably great. The Hardy Boys,
yeah, well, no,
Mercury and Johnny Nitro. That was probably good.
Eminem, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Balls Mahoney beat Matt Stryker.
Yes.
Balls Mahoney, everybody.
Yes.
Balls Mahoney.
Love Balls Mahoney.
Oh, me too.
And the FBI, Little Guido and Tony Mameluke lost to Elijah Burke and Sylvester Turkay.
I don't even remember.
Sylvester Turkay was this his whole gimmick was he's sort of this real legit badass guy and athlete, foreign athlete. And Elijah Burke actually started out as his sort of coach, you know, manager. And he was on SmackDown, as I recall. And he would do lots of, you know, squash jobs and so on and so forth. And then Burke would help him beat up the squash guy and so on and so forth. But, yeah. So there you go. But yeah, Sylvester didn't last. He got ousted. And then Burke eventually became part of the new breed. Is it called? Did they call this the new breed or the new something? Anyway, that group of four new people that were feuding against the ECW originals.
Was it the new breed or was that WCW? I can't remember.
All the crap
blends together.
Yeah, it does. Some of those names. But anyway, they feuded with the ECW originals. But this really was the big, you know, the nail in the coffin. It struggled on quite a bit here, but this is, I mean, Paul Heyman was fired the very next day after this.
It says Daivari beat Tommy Dreamer. So, Ariel right. and Kevin Thorne beat.
That's Kelly. Right. Tommy never wins. The only way anybody expects Tommy to win.
Tommy Dreamer. Then, they had an elimination chamber with. Check out this lineup: Bobby Lashley, Big Show, CM Punk, Hardcore Holly, RVD, and Test.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Oof.
And the main event is what really pissed all over the thing. For one, who won it, Paul's idea was, I mean, CM Punk was his guy, and he was going to use him as the, you know, the guy, the face of the ECW, which would have been perfect. And he got run into resistance. They lied to him about basically him having, you know, as much control as he did over ECW. He interfered with it. He didn't like it. They didn't like it. Nobody liked it. And the rest is history. But, I mean, obviously, I have no problem against Lashley. Bobby Lashley he looked good. He's not horrible in the ring and this and the other. But he didn't belong in ECW at all. That guy should have been on Raw. You know, eventually he was. But it's just didn't fit.
The damage had been done by that time.
Yeah, very much so. Yes.
But CM Punk in the Elimination Chamber match was the first one eliminated.
Wow.
Yeah, and their fans turned on it right then and there. You know, because, I mean, Paul had been building him up. You know, it's kind of the same thing what they're doing with Balor now. I mean, Balor is way over, but then now they're just jobbing him out and pushing, you know, and making him look like a chump. And the fans are going to rebel against that. They always will, because you've already told, hey, this guy's supposed to be special. Well, now he's not special anymore. And that's exactly what they did with CM Punk. And, you know, and the fans, they rebelled. They turned on the whole thing.
So here's something I didn't know. You're right about Heyman being fired right after that. But also, Tommy Dreamer and Stevie Richards both asked after December to Dismember to be released from their contracts, and Vince and Johnny Ace refused.
Yep.
They couldn't leave. They tried to
That's not the first time that that's happened either. I was just listening to something and got reminded of the fact that Owen Hart wanted to leave after the Montreal Screwjob, and Vince wouldn't let him. You know, he wasn't going to let. The only reason that Bulldog did is that he actually bought his own contract out and went to WCW. But I guess Owen was in the position. So, you know, Owen had to stay there, the company that just screwed over his brother, you know. And so they do that sometimes. I don't know if it's out of spite or if, in the case of somebody like Owen and Tommy. Tommy is an asset. He always has been. He's got a great mind for the business. He's worked behind the scenes. He's you know, he certainly was one of the major forces of ECW being as successful as it was. And now he's running the House of Hardcore, and he was a backstage guy at WWE and all this and the other. So I could see them wanting to keep him around. And Owen was just a great talent. I can see why he might not want to lose him, as not necessarily he's going to push him, but the fact, because Vince likes those guys that stay in that mid-card that make those guys he's bringing up look good. You know.
So I think that here are a couple more from a thing I found. I feel like, Jeff, you may have given me these shows on VHS. Smoky Mountain's Christmas Chaos.
Don't remember it, but was that
the first one was in somehow I feel like I've seen these. The first one was in 93, and it had let's see, Chris Candido versus Brian Armstrong, Road Dog, the Harris Brothers against Moondogs, Dirty Dick Murdoch versus the Bullet. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
And let's see, the Heavenly Bodies against Doug Furness, and apparently he had a brother. Didn't know that.
Yes, he did. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I probably saw these, but I don't recall them.
And the main event was Brian Lee beating Dirty White Boy and Tracy Smothers in a triple threat match. And the next year was, let's see, Tracy Smothers beat Bryant Anderson, who I think was Ole's son.
Yes. Who was responsible for breaking up the Original Horsemen.
Yeah, and Buddy Landell beat the Dirty White Boy, as you do.
Thank you.
Cactus Jack and Tracy Smothers.
Yeah.
They beat Chris Candido and Boo Bradley.
Which is Mahoney. That's Balls Mahoney. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's right. And the main event was Ricky and Robert beat the Gangstas. So that's a good match to have in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, this time, I mean... I mean, that's just 20 minutes away from me.
That's the only reason the Gangsters had to leave was because they were getting too much heat. You know, it was a situation where that Jimmy knew that he could only take it so far, and it was going to get to the point where it was going to get unwieldy. So that's when he made the deal with Paul to send him to ECW. But they were heat magnets because, I mean, say what you will, one thing that my man could do is talk. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, Richard. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I just wish I was more into wrestling at this point because, like, all of this took place 20 minutes for me. Because I'm right outside of Knoxville, and part of me was, I was freshman in high school probably, but I didn't have a car or anything and no job really. So I didn't really go to any of these.
You're a virgin.
At this point with Smoky Mountain, yes.
What?
I'm just saying, no car, no money, no job.
This is taking a nasty turn.
It's just investigative journalism.
Investigative journalism. Well, first off, I'm a nerd. No.
Well, they see there more evidence.
More evidence. I'm hanging up now. There's no show this week. It's over.
Merry Christmas.
But to kind of get off track a little bit, but staying on the Christmas theme, so y'all probably remember Tuesday Night Titans more than I do. I remember it a little bit, but I do more research on YouTube about it than I actually remember it. And it's the weirdest thing ever, I feel. Like, it's Vince McMahon's talk show. It was like...
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's his... He's Johnny Carson. Like, yeah. It's just so weird.
Or Alfred Hayes is his Ed McMahon. That's
yeah, crazy. It's the same concept. And but when I was doing some research today, I found a skit where they did Captain Lou as Santa.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable to watch because it's him as Santa, and these people come up and ask for things on his lap, but they're all grown ups,
right?
And it's not funny. Like it's not like they could have made it like really funny. It's just weird. It's just so weird. And then a pretty girl gets on at the end, and it gets even more uncomfortable. And, especially with all the stuff going on, like, I watch some of this old wrestling stuff, and I'm like, I just shake my head, because it's probably not in the best of taste.
No.
I think that's
again. That was professional wrestling of that day.
Speaking of not in the best of taste, but something I love, is the artist formerly known as Goldust.
Yes.
And the time he was a Christmas tree. With an elf that was Luna Vachon, and then he's reciting all through the house, you know, nothing was stirring, not even a mouse, and so it goes, and Santa Claus comes out and goes around, and I love it because he's still like just singing, you know, talking, doing the poem, and Santa's walking around, and there's music, and then Santa comes in and hits him over the back with his sack, and turns out it's Vader Claus.
What?
Vader Claus.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it was Vader. I mean, and you couldn't tell. Like, he was completely covered. Like, his face, like, the beard and the hat was so close together, you couldn't see the mask. So when he, because they were in a feud at that point, and so when he took off, he opened up the Santa suit, and it said, I mean, he had his tights on, and then he took off the hat and all that, and he had the mask on. And Jim Cornette had a great line in this, something to the effect of, I knew it was a jolly fat old man, and I was right, or something. some kind of dig at Vader. So the Attitude Era had a lot of that kind of stuff, and the gold dust thing was not appropriate, really. I mean, especially by it's not PC by today's standards at all. Any of that late '90s gold dust, I mean, which is my favorite era, really, because it is so weird. I mean, we've already talked about the New Year's Baby a little bit. I mean, yep. It was just, and when he hooked up with Luna, that character just went crazy in the best way possible. I mean, it couldn't be done on television now.
No. Well, not on WWE television.
I don't know, on television in general, I mean, it's just pretty hardcore. I mean, as far as, you know, being offensive.
Do you want more of the Pro Wrestling Roundtable? Be sure to check out theprowrestlingroundtable.com. Follow us on Twitter @podcastpwr. email us at info@theprowrestlingroundtable.com. To get early access to interviews and exclusive podcasts, go to PWRChampionship.com. Join in on the Roundtable community by becoming a member of our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/ESOPro. You can now support Earth Station 1 by purchasing a t-shirt over at TeePublic by visiting teepublic.com/user/ESOPodcast. All these links can be found in the show notes. Now, back to the Roundtable.
Yeah, Goldust. Goldust in general.
Yeah.
Goldust in general
was pushing. Really, when he, y'all guys got to remember, he's way softened. But when he was first out, the first few months of his run as Goldust, it was pushing the barriers.
Well,
that time, pretty much. Yeah,
I think for the first probably, I'd say for at least 8 years, I mean that Goldust character is something that just could not be done now. I mean, especially when you take into effect how he got brought in.
Not in the social media, you know, PC world that it is now. There's no way. No. You can get close to that because the Velveteen Dream is kind of in that territory. And Dalton Castle is kind of in that territory.
I mean,
I'm just saying that territory. I'm saying they didn't take it near as far as Goldust did.
I mean, Goldust dressed up like a Christmas tree, and it was hilarious. And then they made a comment about Luna Vachon hanging balls on him.
Well, that was the Attitude Era, man. Well, the advent of the Attitude Era. I mean, that was actually pre-Attitude Era. That's something we could discuss that with him someday. We need to talk to the Attitude Era because – you know, everybody thinks there's this demarcation line, and if there is one, it definitely would probably be DX.
Yes.
But there was stuff, you know, everybody talks about the late 90s and mid-90s being there, but there was stuff already coming out, you know, and stuff going on that was really pushing the barriers already before we ever fully went into the Stone Cold and DX days and so on and so forth. I mean, Stone Cold was part of that, and DX was part of that. Mick Foley is Mankind. The Hart Foundation and the whole, you know, tweener.
Oh, sure.
Thing. Yeah, but anyway, it's getting off thing. Real quick.
But hey, I found a neat little bit of trivia about December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And as it relates to wrestling, it is the only famous wrestler born on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Just found out it is Rusev.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
How great is that? So now that puts his whole Rusev Day thing a whole new perspective.
Yeah. Interesting.
His birthday is Christmas. So now, just imagine having your birthday on Christmas. What do? Now you have nothing for the rest of the year. So I could see Rusev having his own day.
My nephew has his Christmas. He was born on Christmas. So, yeah. Yeah, but anyway, this just in, I just saw it pop up on when I was looking up something else. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I officially like Ruby Riott's group's name more than Paige's group's name.
What is it?
Riot Squad.
That works.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paige is dumb.
It's not bad, but it's not. It's horrible, but it's not, you know.
It sounds like a liquor.
or perfume, maybe perfume. Yeah, I was disappointed in that. So anyway, Riot Squad's good. Now
I know this is Christmas. I know it's Christmas. I'm going to interrupt you, John, because we can't go on. Well, we got Joe on the line and everything. I mean, I know it's Christmas episode, but Thanksgiving's kind of the holidays, and we cannot not talk about the gobbledygooker. I mean, I know everybody talks about the gobbledygooker, but come on, is it not the greatest awful thing ever?
And the thing is, when I watched that pay-per-view live with my uncle and my brother, like
I did
always
too.
did,
I did too,
and I was so excited about that egg.
of course you were.
Because had it been built up for weeks, like on the weekly show?
Yep. They're asking little kids what's in it.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, and of course, you know, the wrestling geeks were like, what bird-related character could it be? Who? Maybe some new guy with a bird nickname. Maybe he's the Phoenix or the Falcon or, you know, something super cool like that. I remember thinking that. And then the egg hatched.
Mean Gene is the best part of this,
too, by
the way. Oh,
yeah, Gene. 100%. Gene made that a moment to last forever. Yeah,
because you were supposed to hear the bird say "gobbledygooker,"
right?
But you couldn't hear him, so Gene had to like improv most of that
because they didn't, I guess, do a microphone check on the giant chicken head. I love that about it.
Yeah, and it was Hector Guerrero.
Hector Guerrero.
For those that didn't know.
But speaking of that, the Guerrero, that's actually, unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, that became sort of a Guerrero tradition as Chavo Guerrero Jr. Was the one that played Jack Swagger Soaring Eagle.
Oh yeah,
oh, that's fun.
Oh yeah, that was great though.
Yeah. I love the story.
That was great. So what they should have done was they should have had a Guerrero play Gobbledygooker throughout the years. They should have had Eddie doing Gobbledygooker. It would have been great.
Something else that's kind of Thanksgiving related that I loved, and yes, it's TNA, and I said love in the same sentence, but this is back in the olden days. Is you remember the turkey suit?
They did it last week.
Oh, they did it last week?
Yeah.
I just loved it because for a while, it was always AJ. Like, for 3 or 4 years in a row, it was always AJ.
Always AJ.
Yeah, it was just, I just loved it.
Well, one of the things I loved about that tradition, and the last one I remember getting it was, Leader of Sanity.
Eric Young.
I always forget that guy's name. I don't know why. I like
it. Maybe was it Eric Young that always got it?
I think it was Eric Young that always got it, yeah.
It was one of the two. I remember both of them getting it quite a bit.
Eric got a lot, yeah. But one of the things that I always loved about it is that they always talked about how it stank because apparently nobody washed the damn thing. It's been sitting around, you know, fermenting. You know,
well, what are those two guys up to? Golly,
I mean, seriously,
Joe, who put on the turkey suit last week?
Yeah,
do you remember? What?
Joe, Chris Masters.
Oh, yeah. By the way,
or Christopher Adonis.
I was gonna say his name's not Matt. Yeah, it's Adonis.
But he the champ Eli Drake made it into a battle royal or a gauntlet type of thing, and at the end of it the loser had to put on the anyway, in a typical Impact Wrestling TNA complication, somehow there ended up being a loser and a winner of the battle royal. And I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
So someone ended up being the loser, and that was Christopher Adonis. And he had, if I'm not mistaken, he had to put on the suit. And of course, he's a bad guy. So the humiliation, it's a classic, I guess, Bobby Heenan in the weasel suit.
Oh, yeah.
Started the whole thing. And, but this is just a 2017 version of that, and I dug it.
Well, there was a – I don't know if you guys remember this. Probably not because it was local. The WWF had a reverse battle royal, reverse steel cage thing, where it was a Thanksgiving turkey deal. And the last guy left in the cage was the turkey, and it was Greg Valentine. And – after about the next set of local interviews, Gene, he has with Valentine, says, don't bring that up. And at the end, Gene says, hope you have some turkey with your Thanksgiving dinner. Valentine goes ballistic.
Well, before we leave the gobbledygooker, I must point out that the gobbledygooker made a return of sorts in 2009 around Thanksgiving on Raw. The Divas had put on a Mayflower Melee, which Melina won. And Melina is being interviewed by Jerry Lawler, of course. And the gobbledygooker comes out, and it's kind of going or doing its thing around the ring and so on and so forth. And Melina's reacted to it, and Jerry's reacted to it. And while he's talking to Melina, and Melina's being very happy, I guess, about winning or whatever, the gobbledygooker takes its head off and is revealed to be Maurice, who has returned. She had been injured, I think, and had returned. And she, of course, beats the ever-living dog crap out of Melina with the gobbledygooker's head. So there you go.
Hey, Melina was in town the other day with about 3 weeks ago when I saw the local show. Mm-hmm. Still looks good, man.
Yeah, I saw an interview with her with about a year ago. Adam Blompied interviewed her. She looked great and sounded great, and she's doing good on the indie, so good for her. I guess we'll wrap up with the last thing, we've been talking about over an hour now. There was a great bit on the old WWF Saturday night. Primetime Wrestling, where Bobby was dressed as Santa. And once again, Santa doesn't end up well when it's all said and done, because he and Piper are having some disagreements and arguments. Bobby thinking Piper's in another studio, which he is. But eventually Piper has enough, and he comes up behind Bobby, and he beats the ever-living crap out of him. And that was the good thing about Primetime. It was always funny with Bobby and Monsoon. Piper came in, and it just kind of added another dynamic. And so while there was the funny stuff, the really, really great heated promos from both Bobby and Piper towards each other, which actually to this day some people question, did they go too far with each other or whatever, which of course Piper and Bobby are as pros go, and I know it was all a work, but that's how good they were, in that they have people question them to this day. But it's some good stuff. You can catch it on YouTube. I suggest anybody watch it. If you want to watch two old pros do some great promo work, and so there you go. I guess Jeff, since you've been gone so long, give us some Christmas message.
Well, I want to first of all thank you all for having me on again. It's been too long. And I want to wish all the people who are in our Pro Wrestling Roundtable and the ESO Pro Network a very happy holiday season. And I hope that 2018 is a hell of a lot better than 2017. Personally, it's been a bad year, but this is not about music, but we lost a lot of great musicians this year, and
we did.
It's really been a bad year for shows. You're getting older when your musicians die of natural causes. But I got to update that thing I wrote years ago. I'm just hoping for some personal fulfillment, and I hope you gentlemen have good health and good fortune in the new year.
Thank you, Jeff. I certainly wish that for you, and hope that things improve for you. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just going to do a total heel turn and hope everything gets great for me and awful for all of you.
Well,
everybody, we'll be wrestling without you. Jeff, I was playing the loser just then. That's what
yes,
I'm doing.
Yes, you were. I know. I know. I used to write for him.
Yes.
One of my favorite things was when we did that pay-per-view at when we did that pay-per-view where the ring was in the swimming pool.
Yes.
And I had him come out in a boat with the SS Loser and flip-flops and a board shorts and he ridiculed all the college people. Well, why don't you get out and get a job like normal people?
So have you guys ever considered suing Chikara? So Richard, you know what Chikara is?
Oh, Chikara. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
You were about to stun me, Jeff.
Okay. Okay. I thought you said Chikara or something else. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, I just like to wish everybody a happy holidays, especially you gentlemen, and I really appreciate you guys for being around and hanging out with us and everything y'all do. And Joe, you've helped us with the skits that at least make me laugh, and I know they make John laugh a lot. So I really appreciate that, and your help with tonight's skit was just masterful.
One of these years. Joe, you've got to put that Grindbuster tape on the internet.
Yes.
Tell them about it.
When we were doing the email league, the GWA, I ended up doing a wrestling theme song soundtrack, because since we were just emailing, we didn't need rights. We didn't have rights issues. So everybody had real songs that were our theme music. So I did a soundtrack album, much like the original wrestling album, where the announcers introduced each song and did little skits. And I did an impression of Dusty Rhodes and of Ric Flair on cassette and mailed it.
I still have
it. Thank you. Great. And I mailed it to everybody who was in our little league. And then, you know, new people would join, and I would mail it to them, and they would go, what is this? But forget those guys. The original group, they knew what was going on.
Well,
I'm tickled now, and thank you guys, but I get to do goofy stuff like that again today. And I like to think that I'm hopefully goofier and maybe at least as goofy as doing a Dusty Rhodes voice into a cassette player when I was back in the 90s. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
All I can say is that you have mastered your Dusty Rhodes.
The thing was, his man, Soul Man Dave Johnson's finishing move was called the Groinbuster.
Yes.
And the second WWF album was called Pile Driver.
That's right.
So it was logical to make that the title of our thing. But I had wished we had done an original, like a parody of it, you know.
All
just
right.
Like a Goring Buster.
That could still happen. Yeah.
We can make anything happen.
We can make it happen.
2017. We can do anything we want now.
I'm going to close this out. And of course, I wish happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, the whole works, whatever works for you, to everybody that's listening. I know we have listeners. I don't know how many there are, but you're out there. We know you are. And we thank you for listening. We thank you for your interest. Certainly to everybody on the board, the world famous ECO Facebook page. Not ESO. Well, them two, they're all right. But, I mean, the Pro Wrestling Roundtable, Facebook. I'm all over the place here. Anyway.
I don't know what's happening.
I have no idea.
Take it easy.
I'm doing the
spirit of Randy Savage is taking me over. So, anyway, And thanks to Jeff and Joe and Jonathan. I mean, I'll get to Jonathan, but Jerry and our as our regular
bring in Jonathan. He's not here.
To our regular contributors who provide such great insight and entertainment and just fun. And I want to thank Jonathan
and friendship.
And I want to thank Jonathan. I want to thank Jonathan for being a great source for our interviews, for being a great part of our team. We're a three-headed beast, and we each provide our own expertise to this, or at least fake it. But Richard, I got to thank the most. None of this would happen without Richard. None of this would have ever. Would have gotten back up. Because, it was dormant for so long. It would not have happened without Richard. I've had a great freaking time for this, and I really, really love doing it. And so we're going to have more in the new year. We got more before this year's over. We're going to have a year-end thing where we're going to talk about the year in wrestling and everything else. But anyway, that's it. I'm done talking. I know that's a surprise, but Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays,
and for all you atheists, Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, Happy Tuesday. You've had the best damn Tuesday you've ever had in your entire damn life. All right, that's it. We're done.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.